listen, don't mention the war. I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it all right. So, it's all forgotten.
Hello. Stop snorting, yeah?
Sorry.
Hello. Mr. Yan is now collapsing in hysterics. He's gone bright red in the face, but he'll recover in a few minutes, so don't worry.
We call it stadium face because we realize whenever I go to the stadium and we get home, after 1 or 2 hours at home, I get really red in the face. Oh. And yesterday, when we went to the U23 game against Babelsberg, 3-1, yay! I had the same thing, so it's maybe probably oxygen. I heard it's bad for you, but...
Oh, oxygen.
Don't you worry.
A bit tricky doing that.
Don't you worry. Simon's going to publish a book on dieting very soon.
Oh, yeah?
It's going to be called, chocolate, Fika and Kielbasa.
Yeah.
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 Or
cake and sausage.
How I made it to 125 years with a steady diet.
Just of cake and sausages. I do like my cake and I do like my Polish sausages.
Okay.
I really do.
Contenance now, from the beginning, from the top. Hello.
Hello.
We're still alive. Simon was very busy, you know, all this jet set lifestyle. Sometimes it's hard to. And one day I was... the chicken who chickened out of recording, so we would have to talk about seven
lots
games.
Lots of gigs to go to, and,
yeah, and rock and roll lifestyle.
Viking festivals to go to as well.
Kielbasa.
Well.
And mead, how do you call it in English? Mead, this honey drink?
Mead.
Mead. Hogsmeade. Harry Potter. Hi, Anna. Okay.
Slytherin.
So we actually... Boo, Slytherin. We actually have seven games to talk about for the men's team and three other matches. So we're just going to... Because it's our podcast. We're going to do what we want to do.
Yes.
Fuck you. Okay, Simon. The first match, match day whatever, with Hertha BSC against Wolfsburg, which I would say was a classic 0-0 or a tie. And then somehow...
Then it wasn't.
This Dutch guy managed to put the ball in.
Damn down sports.
Pretty boring, huh? Yeah. Boring match. Moving on. Huh?
Swiftly.
Do you have any?
No, I have no insight. It was about a billion years ago, so I've forgotten most of it other than the scoreline.
And then we have a bigger one. During the week, cup match, Bayern Munich.
Straight for that one.
Pretty impressive. But we lost.
Yeah.
Third minute, Maxi Mittelstädt. Just figured, hey, why don't I just hit it? And it was the first time in our block, could you say block or stand, where I got a beer shower.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because, you know, if you're standing there, people have their full beers in their hands, and then it was the third minute.
It's early on, yeah.
So people hadn't settled down. It's so expensive, and it tastes so shitty.
Drunk a little bit yesterday, top of the head. I think Ines had some too.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean Saturday?
No, Saturday.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Always the big games where the beer keeps flowing. It was these stupid Dortmund fans in our stand. I hate them.
There were quite a few, weren't there?
That's what I really hate, but I talk...
Probably there was one that tried to sneak into Ines's in the...
I heard.
In the upper end.
Moritz was complaining too.
But she frightened him away.
But there were people without Dortmund dress,
yeah.
But they kept they were cheering when Dortmund scored. I would just beat them out of the block. Mm. Seriously. And this aspect, you know, okay, the stadium's pretty big. And my wife commented, because she works in ticketing, that if you look at the stadium online at the Eventim page, you don't see where the fan end is.
Yeah.
So people just buy tickets. So, and this has been discussed often at official fan club meetings and different, you know, different occasions. Mm-hmm. And basically what management says is, if we get a smaller stadium, which is probably or not going to happen, then there would be a shortage of tickets. And then people, you know, right now, if you're in Berlin for a weekend, you say, you know, I just had a nice breakfast on Saturday. It's 1 p.m.
Let's go watch some football.
You can get tickets because it's never, hardly ever sold out, I think this was the first time it was sold out.
It was sold out this year.
Oh, and the cup game. The cup game and the Dortmund game. Anyway, so if there's a shortage of tickets, people will buy tickets earlier and we might not have that. I really hate that. Especially if I go away. I either go to the away stand or I go right next to it.
Yeah.
I don't get people.
Well, whenever I've been to the away games, I've bought them through a Hertha.
Yeah, yeah.
So they, you know, you automatically...
And it's only $15. We went to Mainz a few years back for the last... Oh, yeah. There was the last match day when Hertha needed 3 points to qualify for the Europa League. And then they had this beautiful 0-0. And, you know, the standing tickets, the Steher, they're $15. And we paid $37.50. And we were 2 meters away from the other guys.
Ooh.
Fuck you, Mainz.
That was done.
Okay, early lead, then equalizer, thanks to our formerly favorite player, Marvin Plattenhardt, who just figured, it doesn't... I mean, this goal was totally on him. Do you remember? It was somehow the ball was cleared by, I think, Jahrstein. And Plattenhardt.
He does that quite a bit.
And Plattenhardt was, but it was hard to catch. And then Plattenhardt was looking, I don't know what he was, maybe at his socks or his hair, I don't know. And what's the guy's name? Gnabry just reacted and the ball was in. And you had Selke score the equalizer at 2-2, and then they lost in overtime. But still a good game. Of course, against Bayern, you need to have an A game day. The other team must not have an A game day, and then you must have be very lucky. Or as Lothar Matthäus would say, if we have a bit of lucky.
Well, the first time round against Bayern at home, we had a good day. So
Hey,
perhaps it was a bit too much to ask to pull that off again.
But it was close.
Still, it was a good thing to go to.
And the game, the goal by Selke was fabulous.
Yeah.
It was somehow Bayern were passing the ball back to the keeper or to some of the centre back. And then Selke just ran in there and stole the ball. And the other guy was like, what? And then he ran around the keeper and put it in.
Yeah, that was quite neat.
Manuel Neuer, formerly known as world class goalkeeper. Not anymore. Long gone. And then Hertha, but this summer, I think the good thing about this game was that Hertha realized what they're capable of after these abysmal displays against Wolfsburg.
Mm.
And they, I mean, before the Gladbach game, I had no expectation whatsoever.
That's the funny thing though, isn't it? You go into a game like that and you're expecting, what's going to happen here? And then they go and do that and they...
Especially since in the past few years, we've always been buried by them. 5-0, yes. 4-0.
He just came completely out of the blue. Very nice. Thank you very much.
If we're going to talk about how bad or good this season we beat Gladbach twice, and the aggregate score is 7-2-2. Man. Kalou with a magical Kalou moment. That's what Kalou is there for. He grabs the ball and then there's three guys like, maybe I put it here and there. Oh, I can take it with a heel flick. Oh, it's in.
When he does that, it's pure genius. Quite often, he does a little job and he ends up wandering around the place, getting absolutely nowhere. But on that particular occasion, he really pulled it off and nailed it. And it's a beautiful thing to see when he does that. I just wish he did it more often.
And everyone's already having their hands up.
Because you've seen it, don't you? So often. Was it during the course of this last game against Dortmund, he went for a bit of a wander?
He was in the middle and he ended up at the sideline. But he kept the ball against three, four guys.
Yes, he did. He was skipping around. He just didn't get anywhere.
Oh, he was good on Saturday.
Yeah.
Anyway, 30th minute, Kalou strolls in and figures, hey, I'll just do it myself. And then I remember the 56th. And the funny thing was after the... before there was really like a pressure period and, Gladbach was really pushing And it was usually, oh, okay, we're going to lose this by 2 or 3 goals. And then after the impromptu goal by Kalou, everybody was, they were totally lost and didn't know what to do. And Duda scored a goal. And what else? But how did... Oh, yeah. I think Zelke somehow put a little a short cross in and Duda just put it in. No. That was the goal where Zelke got the ball at midfield and he ran against Ginter, who's a world champion, by the way. And he kept going faster and slower and faster and slower. And then he looked up and Duda went from the Hertha's own box all the way to the goal. And he had this great route that his defender lost him. And Zelke just kicked the ball into the middle and Duda just blasted it in there.
Yeah.
Interesting thing is, every goal by Duda usually makes... You know how sometimes you hear the goal sounds? Somehow it hits some kind of aluminum or something else.
Aluminium.
Yeah, and this was what was happened with that goal. It was like...
Yeah.
Awesome. And then Zelke got to score a goal after a corner or a free throw, a free kick by Duda.
Mm. He deserved that because he played a blinder that game.
He deserves a lot more goals. I mean, he's had 3 or 4 hits against the post in the past few games.
He was so important during the course of that game. He really deserved to get, you know, a goal for his trouble at the end of it all.
He's a bastard, but he's our bastard. Yeah, everybody was very, very happy. Then came the home game against Bremen. And Hertha has not won against Bremen since 2013, I guess.
Long time.
Not our favorite.
They didn't do it this time either.
In vintage Hertha fashion, we went up by a goal through a goal by Zelke, assist by Kalou, and I think there were 2 or 3 close ones. There was at least one post, and was that the game where Duda hit the free throw right into the triangle? And the whole stadium was shaking because there was such a grenade. Okay, Simon, thanks for nothing.
What can I say?
Yeah, so towards the end, that was the shitty part. Was we had 3, 4, 5 minutes of extra time, and then of course Hertha was trying to make the game slow, and then there was some scuffle in the middle at midfield where for some reason Ibišević got a yellow card while being on the bench. And then there was another Kaktur.
That takes some natural talent.
And then they got this free kick and somehow what's his face? The old guy.
Pizarro, or
Pizzarina as he's called on Twitter. Somehow the ball was deflected and got in.
Yeah, it was
and they celebrated like
a fluke goal.
And then they were like, they just won the Champions League.
Yes.
So that was a big, big bummer, but we're used to that. And then the next week, Hertha had to travel to Munich. And it was a typical shitty game against Munich. They scored 1 goal. I don't remember who. And there was a red card, which was total bullshit. Against Rekic. I've always hated Lewandowski, I mean, ever since
he's taken to diving quite a bit and
all his life.
No, I don't remember him doing that.
I remember when we played them on his last game for Dortmund, was the last match of the season under Luukai, the promotion season, and he was fouled. He was not fouled. There was some scuffle, and he fell down like he was, I don't know, shot in the leg, and then from there...
Perhaps he's already always done it, but I don't remember it in the same way that I'm seeing it.
Whenever there's a rumor that he's going to be traded somewhere, not in the Bundesliga, I really hope he goes. Especially, I want him to go to the Premier League, where they don't like diving. Right? So it was the usual, you know, you play an okay game.
You want to go to Spain, they'll like it down there.
The opera public. So they played well, but they were a bit not lucky. We have a bit lucky.
Okay.
Jetzt usually Hertha plays good games against Bayern, and then in the 88th minute, somehow, for example, Robin somehow manages.
Time and time again.
I mean,
when I went to go and see Hertha play down there.
On my wedding day. With
And it was... Because you were there as well, weren't you?
But no.
Weren't you?
The 0-0. No, I went for 0-0.
Oh, I went for...
In 2015, Weiser, then still playing for Bayern, went around 3, 4, 5 guys and then put it back in, and then Schweinsteiger scored. Mm-hmm. That was the game, I remember. But it's usually...
They seem to do quite well, and then...
Against Bayern.
When I was actually there, we were doing pretty well holding the ball off. You thought, oh, we might actually get a point out of all this. But I think it was 10 minutes before the end, bang, and that was that. But... You know, they played really well against them and then still end up losing. Hey.
And speaking of Hertha losing, at some point they were had the best, the highest number of points from the beginning of the Rückrunde ever, because they won one game and then they won against Mainz, which is the next game we're going to talk about. So basically they had 8 or 9 points. So it wasn't that bad for Hertha, even though there were some crushing defeats. Crushing in the not by the score, but
we weren't slaughtered, but
it was so close.
Flipping annoying that we lost it. What can you?
And then there was a home game, the one which you were missing because you were driving our friend. No, it was the gig, right?
Yeah, it was a gig.
You were in London.
It was a gig in London.
Right. Who did you see?
Faun. German band, as it happens.
What? How do you spell that?
Faun.
Ah.
Extremely good. I've seen them twice now. May well see them in Walton.
I thought you have a policy of only seeing Scandinavian bands.
Yeah, I make an exception. It's a Faun.
Okay, Hertha at home against...
I saw an Icelandic one last week.
What?
This one. Solstafir. Excellent. Dear listener, ever have a chance to see Solstafir? Go and see them.
Maybe spell that out for everybody because it's...
It's S-O with a little accent on it. L-S-T-A-F-I-R. Solstafir.
So what does it mean?
I think it's... Was it
death.
Sun Ray or something like that. They started off as a black metal band. But they've introduced sort of strings and things. It's all sort of quite melodic there. But... Jans, I mean, he looks like he's about to give birth here. He's gone so red and he's chuckling away in the background.
I'm just having fun. I mean, I went to 2 games this weekend, so probably... No, can't be sunburn. Even though I burn easily. BSC Mainz, usually also a shit show.
Further music recommendations will come forth in the next episode, dear listener.
Next show, we're going to talk to Valentino Lazzaro, who's officially the changing room DJ. No. Games against Mainz, especially the away games, are usually a shit show. Safe to say.
Yeah.
But this time... Niklas Stark scored 2 goals.
Yeah.
Which was... In the second half, he tried to clear a ball.
There's always a butt with Hertha. I think we've had that as a title before.
Can't use it again. there was a really strong cross and he tried to clear it and somehow the clearance went into the net.
That was the one he did a sort of like a diving header.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the bad thing is that...
straight in the goal.
had the ball gone straight to the goal, Rune would have had it.
Yeah.
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 So but hey.
That's doubly annoying.
But somehow this thing caused Hertha to wake up, which they usually... I mean, if I had a penny every time they said, oh, we probably missed a... No, we slept through the entire first or second half, I would be a millionaire right now, because that's what they always do.
Mm.
I mean, for example, Freiburg, when we played them at home, they came out of the halftime and they were on fire and Hertha was like... Oh, speaking of, have you seen the new Netflix show by Ricky Gervais?
No.
It's really
I'm not
good.
I'm a great fan of Ricky Gervais, but that's just me.
It's about depression. A very funny topic. Oh, and death and suicide.
Oh, that sounds charming.
So, right after the... it was like the whole team was struck by lightning being an own goal, and then they came back. Mm. Right, Simon?
Mm. Mm. Well, there was a Lazaro shot not that far into it, and it was just parried away by the keeper. One of Lazaro's better moments. Well, that's what I seem to recall about it anyway.
Seldom. Yeah, and the goal was scored when Selke shot or headed, and the keeper was not able to control the ball, and there was a big bulk of players, and Grealish just somehow netted the ball.
Mm.
And it was the 50th, and then 10 minutes later, almost the same thing happened, right?
I thought it was Stark headed the ball down, wasn't it? And then it went to Grealish.
Oh, here it says Selke. I looked it up, but maybe they're wrong and you're right.
Maybe.
Does
anybody care? Probably not.
From where we sit, I didn't see anything. I just saw the ball and the net, and that's good enough for me.
Hmm. Well, on Saturday, there's a couple of times I was skipping forward to a more recent match, but a couple of the times the ball went into the side netting.
Yes.
And from where we sit, it looked like it was a goal, and that's just horrible, because you see it hitting the net, but of course, in real time you can't see whether it's which side of the post it went, and that's
so horrible. Same thing happened at some point. They came over the left and they were playing on Hertha's goal in the second half, and the ball went to the outside of the net, and all the Dortmund fans were already celebrating, but there was nothing happened. So Hertha won the game. Not a dirty win, but also not the cleanest of wins, and not the most convincing of games.
No.
One could say. Oh, now we have to talk about the stupid away game in Freiburg. Freiburg's always... I think they haven't won against Freiburg in quite some time. Oh, the last time we won was this crazy first match day win with, the goal by the 96th minute or 95th by Julian Schieber?
Schieber!
Yeah. Back when we had our good friend, what's his name?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Big guy.
Brooks?
Pecking. His company, he started a company when he was still playing, and they invented pecking, the pecking rate. It's how many...
Just to explain, listener, I'm looking totally blank at this point. I do most of the time, to be honest, but even more so now.
I was about to say that.
I thought I'd get it in before you did.
I think pecking is an indicator of how many opponents your pass passes by. So if we are in a counter position, you're on the wing and I'm in the middle, and you pass to me, it's only a pecking rate of 1. But if you are, for example, Torunariga, and you see a chance and you just put the ball all the way from your own box into right close to the other box, and then Selke scores, you have a 10.
Yeah.
But Jens Hegeler. Remember him? Oh.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I remember the name. I don't remember.
Didn't play much. And Dade said that it was one of his biggest disappointments as a coach was that he never
did
got...
Did he go to England?
No, I think he went to nowhere. I'll check.
Not that it really matters. Let's be honest about it.
Yeah, but Dada said that he would always did very well in practice, and then when it was game time, he always
didn't.
That was one of his biggest disappointments, because he blamed himself. He's officially listed as not playing at the moment, but still being active. And you were right. He was sold for 300,000 euros to Bristol City.
Brazil.
Did I say it wrong? Bristol?
Bristol. Yes.
See what I have to deal with here. I'm getting made fun of.
My parents met in Bristol.
Oh, you have to tell me the Monopoly story.
Sorry, I met my wife over again in Monopoly.
Yeah, did you just meet her on the street and then you said, let's play Monopoly?
Well, it could do. No, it was in a hall of residence. just having a game of Monopoly.
Which is when you're at university, right?
University, yeah.
Americans would call it a frat house.
Somebody's room.
Dormitory.
They had rooms there with like two or three people sharing, so they're sort of quite small.
Yeah, but in the States they call it the dorms.
Yeah. Well, in England, a dormitory would have
more
people than that, but hey, does it matter? But yeah, that's where we met.
Who won the game?
Oh, I can't remember.
And you
must have been me.
And you were so good at making the money that she thought, oh, I have to marry this man.
I think that's probably what it was, yeah. Yeah. Just couldn't resist, you see.
That's a nice story, Simon.
Or something.
And they're still together.
She's been regretting that game of Monopoly ever since.
Because she lost?
Slight digression, dear listener.
Freiburg game.
We do a lot of that. You might have noticed.
I think the last 2 weeks were the weeks of the own goal for Hertha. Ibišević scored a nice little goal against Freiburg. And then he scored an own goal. And that's that.
He didn't look happy after that. I seem to recall.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to talk about it.
The goal...
Which one? The real one?
Was it the first one? I don't know. One of the goals.
We only scored one. Oh, Freiburg, yeah.
Freiburg scored.
Oh, the header.
A horrible bit with Torren Origa.
Yes.
Where
he went in or out, and the other guy went the other way.
Yeah. He looked at this guy, and then he looked at him again. Then he looked at it again, and then he looked away, and then this guy just ran around the back of him, got in front, bang, scored the goal. It was. If you watch a replay of it, it's horrible.
But also the player on the wing could have done more to stop the cross.
Yeah. So, well, clearly it wasn't good. But that particular bit, the way he lost his man and he just got a free header, horrible, horrible.
Yeah.
Yogi was there watching that.
Can he please resign? If you're listening to this,
he was in the Olympic Stadium on Saturday. You know, he had a huge, great Hertha blanket over his knees. But he's quite old. He's got to look after himself.
Says 27-year-old Simon.
Not.
Yeah. So if you listen to this, I'm looking for a new national team I can support. Italians don't need to apply. Yeah. So
Iceland.
Love Iceland. Did you watch the documentary on them?
No, I didn't.
Speaking of documentaries, we're going to talk later about the 11mm Film Festival.
I nearly had a chance to go and watch Iceland play in Reykjavik. But my wife insisted that we had to sit together, and because of that, we couldn't go in and watch. Oh, that's awful. The sacrifices I make. All because of that game of Monopoly.
Oh,
I don't know. What can you do?
So, if you want to play Monopoly, always check the other players before you start. Okay. And don't build hotels. Now, more recent one, Simon. Hertha BSC sold out Olympiastadion. Oh, hang on. Hang on one second. And we're back. I'm very sorry, but being the good host that I am, I had to get fresh coffee for my friend Simon. How do you like your coffee, sir?
And you had a quick tinkle break as well.
Okay,
never
rob a bank with Simon.
What?
Sorry, I had... Just realized that I had the microphone. I hope people could hear you in the half hour we already talked, because I made a little mistake adjusting the microphone.
Well, you didn't switch it on.
It was on, but it was just on front, so it was on me. But
so nobody could hear me. Is that what you're saying here?
Probably for the first half hour without Simon might be a blessing in disguise.
You're trying to tell me something, yeah.
Please leave.
Okay then. All right, I'm off. I'm going there.
Sit down.
Bye.
Shh. The wife is sleeping. Before the break, before the tinkle coffee break, we were back to the last game.
You got problems if you're tinkling coffee.
You didn't? Can't you tell?
You have too much caffeine. That's your trouble. Sorry.
I basically tinkle coffee. Anyways, Hertha BSC, Seoul Olympiastadion, Saturday night against Borussia Dortmund.
It was raining and it was horrible.
Yes. Yeah, we got there a bit late.
Many people didn't sort of meet up and things before the game because it was just foul.
Oh, did they?
There was nobody at the Rondell when we went through anyway.
Oh, I was driving, so I...
So it was...
Didn't have time to check.
It was wet and rather disgusting and not very nice at all.
But the atmosphere was quite good, huh?
Yeah, it was a full house.
Because we parked the car, we always park a bit further away from the stadium because if you park right next to the stadium, it's going to take you forever to get out and you're going to be stuck in traffic. So we have a 10-minute walk to the stadium and then when we get to the car, we can just easily slip onto the highway and be off into the night.
Yeah.
Like doves.
We'll come on to how easy it was to leave the stadium after the game later on, dear listener.
Was it? Or was it not?
It really wasn't. No.
Okay.
But we'll go into that later.
I wouldn't know. And yeah, we were late because we had some emergency and then we were walking to the stadium at maybe 10:15 and kickoff was at half.
Mm.
Half 6.
You came in really late.
Yes. And then my wife was hungry and being the good husband
I asked Esther's dad, you know, where were you guys? And he just said, well, I don't know.
Yeah,
but I did let him know that he was going to have 2 sausages at halftime.
Did he have a sausage?
He had 2.
That was the problem. That's why we lost the game.
What, because he was over-sausaged?
It's only... My wife is very particular. I once asked if we wanted to change seats. But no. If we change seats, we're going to lose the game. This is called magical thinking in psychology. Game. Who played the game? Ibisevic, which was on the bench...
Mm.
Which was probably a good idea. No, not nice. We had Jahrstein in goal.
Right.
We were playing with a regular, three backs, right?
Stock, Tornariga, Rekic.
And Rekic. Karim Rekic. Karim Rekic. Karim. Do you know that?
No.
Oh, he was with... He was at 15 or 16. He went to Man City, but never could break into the men's team. And then he went to Eindhoven, and there they won some kind of championship, maybe the Europa League or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were celebrating, he grabbed the mic and started the song. And my wife cannot hear this because she hates it when I do that. I used to do that for the first 5 or 6 games when he came to Hertha and she was she went mental when I started singing that. And he grabbed the mic, cup in hand, and started singing Karim Rekic, Karim Rekic, Karim Rekic, Karim Rekic.
Why did he do that? Did he?
Why do you always sing Duda, Duda?
Well, I don't anymore. But why
did you?
Why would you do that?
I think he was drunk.
You think so?
Yes.
Gosh.
Dutch courage, you know?
No.
Okay, we had... No, that's the other team. We had Jahrstein, Stark, Rekic, Tornariga, as you said. Lazaro, Grujic, Meyer, Mittelstädt. No Marvin Plattenhardt.
No.
Duda, Kalou and Selke.
Aye.
That's good. And some people with yellow jerseys. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they were bees or something.
In the 77th, Ibisevic came on for Kalou, but not for long. And Lecky came on for Selke, who did not make much of an impression. Yeah. I mean, Lecky. And then after something else happened, we had to put in Lustenberger for Duda. Yeah. I want Klünter. Because Lazaro is getting on my nerves.
Yeah, he was doing really, really well, wasn't he? But he did not have a good game on Saturday.
Did not.
He sort of kept on losing it and just didn't seem to have the awareness, did he? Which is a bit of a shame, really. Because against a team like Dortmund, I think they all have to be firing on all cylinders.
Dortmund only lost 2 games this season so far. On match day 25.
Yeah.
And one of those was against Augsburg. Totally.
Bit random.
Bit random. And then the other was something else stupid. Maybe it was Düsseldorf. I don't know. Anyway.
Got off to a pretty good start, though.
Yeah, like the Bayern Cup game. Went off pretty well. And again, Maxi Mittelstädt was in the thick of it.
Mm. I mean, the first thing that I noticed, other than the fact that it was pissing it down, Gruitch had an early shot, but it was
boom, boom,
pretty much straight at the keeper, and it was a bit limp as well, so that wasn't really going to do anything. But we didn't have to wait too long, did we?
I think that whoever was on the right wing for defending for Dortmund, he had a shitty night, because Mittelstädt could practically do whatever he wanted,
yeah,
and he always had the ball.
He had a good game.
He had I would say he had his best game. Oh, Marius Wolf was the guy. Who cares? Yeah. And then Maxi Mittelstädt with his weak foot smashed it towards the keeper. And because you said the weather conditions and everything was wet and
yeah,
was raining, cats and dogs.
Yeah.
Berkey couldn't hold on to the ball. And Kalou was the first one to react. And
yeah, he was in the like a flash, wasn't
he? And he just...
Yeah.
Kicked it in there.
Yeah.
No questions asked.
He
jumped
on it. Well, he couldn't miss from that sort of range. He was about sort of...
Oh, everybody can miss.
Well, yes, it has been done, I suppose, but he was like about 3 feet out. And I gather that was the earliest goal from Hertha this season. About 4 minutes or so,
probably,
something like that.
You're probably right, yeah.
Mm. So...
did you see the dance they did?
I was probably too busy shouting. Or
me too, me too. on the gram, I saw you know the friend of Kalou who drives him around. Remember them?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, he posted it because he always sits at in the VIP section. He posted a picture of or a video of Duda and him on the sideline doing little this. Remember how?
Yes, I can picture it.
Like Roger Miller at the 1990 World Cup. You know, the doing some kind of African dance, like or Roomba, or I don't know.
Oh, I don't know either. But
we're yes, both not the dancer types, right?
Not as you'd notice, no.
No. I only like Dirty Dancing and Tiny Dancer, which people often mistake for Hold Me Closer, Tony Danza.
If you say so, yeah. I have no idea what you're talking about, but hey.
Hertha was up 1-1, and yep, then the Kaktor struck again. I don't even know how that happened. Delaney got the ball.
It came across because of a mistake by Lazaro.
Who else?
Who, for whatever reason, did a really sloppy pass into the middle of the field. And rather than going to a hurt
and
player,
I said,
Delaney picked it up.
These are the balls you don't lose against Dortmund, or they're going to punish you.
Yeah, because he passed it more or less into the middle of the field, and it wasn't really going to...
And Sancho or somebody picked it up, and then...
Delaney picked it up more or less in the middle of the field, and then hightailed it straight the way down. And it was just...
And it was so shitty because...
He got a shot away, and it was deflected off... I think it was Gruch's trailing foot, which
and then
left...
Rune missed it by an inch tops.
If the shot had just gone through, it probably would have been fine. Yeah. Rune would have had it. But with that deflection off the sort of trailing foot from Gruch. Oh.
But not only is Hertha a mistress of who's harsh, but also what we call the football god is quite an asshole sometimes. Because
yes,
he would stir our hope once again.
Yes.
When some Dortmund player in the 35th minute, used his hands to protect his face.
Yes,
as you said earlier,
it was such a he didn't want to spoil his
good looks.
His good looks. So for some reason he flapped around with his hands to make sure the ball didn't hit him in the face. He should have just taken one for the team right on the nose, but he didn't. Luckily for us,
so the very seldom occurrence we get a penalty.
Yes.
And Kalou went. What was your reaction before he shot the ball?
I hate penalties at the best of times, really. But,
it's the worst.
Especially when it comes out to penalty shootouts. I mean, they're just dreadful. But penalties, you're always a little bit nervous about, because, you know, people do miss them sometimes, but he sent the keeper completely the wrong way, and then just, I wouldn't say exactly passed it in, but...
And he was so happy after that.
Well, a nice brace on a hat-trick, as you would be.
What was one of the best matches he's played for Hertha?
He was a busy boy.
Oh, yeah. And he was defending. Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy defending by him.
Yeah.
But alas, after halftime, Hertha was... The thing is, against Dortmund, you always have to be at the top of your game and you can't give them...
Yep.
Show any weaknesses, and then at some point this was such... I watched the highlights and it was just such an easy goal to concede.
Mm.
For 1 second, somebody... Was it Lazaro again? It came over Lazaro's side.
It did.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
And Zagadou headed in. We're tied. And then we had all...
He was being marked by Grealish, who just basically didn't really jump enough.
At the end of the match, we had 25 shots for Dortmund and 7 for Hertha.
The corner ratio at one point...
7-0.
It got to about... Yeah, it was about 7-0,
but we had 3 or 4 later on.
It did pick up later on, but it was just... Yeah, that gives a bit of indication about what it was like.
So Hertha somehow was able to weather the big storm that is the offense of Dortmund.
There was another Delaney shot that came off the bar, which is a bit of a thunderbolt.
And Rune saved our ass, as he usually does.
As again.
There was a one-on-one situation at one point in the first half, and he somehow cleared that ball. I don't know how.
Yeah.
Well, but then the 12th Dortmund player... Who some people could call a referee.
Yeah.
I call him a donkey.
Also known as. Yes, AKA.
What do you do for a living?
I don't know.
Which doesn't make much sense, because the German referees actually have normal jobs and they do refereeing on the side. Maybe a good opportunity to discuss professional refereeing in Germany, because he was really, really bad.
He was pretty bad.
And I'm not saying that in a way that he didn't make the right calls for Hertha. He just made the wrong calls, period.
Yes.
Because there's a word, I don't know, what would Zweikampfbewertung be in English?
Zweikampf,
you know, the challenges?
Yeah.
And evaluation. He evaluates them differently. On the one hand... There was one scene where somebody hung on to the Hertha player with both arms and he didn't get called.
Yeah.
And then there were some scenes where Hertha had the ball and were about to start a counterattack, and he would call them back for a foul committed on them, which would be...
So he didn't play the advantage.
Yeah. And then I watched the highlights from the other matches, and there was one scene where there was the same situation and the referee gave the advantage and the team scored. I'm like, wow. And there was one scene where we had a counterattack and he stopped the ball in midfield when it was passed from the left to the right side. And then he gave a very, very questionable... Oh, yeah, in the second half there was the penalty that was not given.
Oh, God.
Where Duda...
That was shocking.
Duda is touched. Somehow Diallo makes Duda fall. He was sprinting towards the goal with the ball.
He sort of hooked his leg.
Yeah.
As I picture it, remembering it, he sort of hooked his leg in front of Duda and he couldn't go anywhere.
And he did not touch the ball. He didn't touch the ball.
No.
Which is pretty...
So it's beyond me how that wasn't given.
Oh, Kicker is one of the biggest football magazines in Germany, and they usually give... marks, which I usually think are bad, but with the referees they're kind of okay. They gave him a D for the refereeing, and it says lots of some mistakes in Zweikampfbeurteilung. He was right with sending off players, but he should have Diallo challenging Duda should have been a penalty in the 59th minute. And that would have... if that was a penalty, or if we had... Would Grealish hit the post at some point? If we had scored another goal, they would have been dead in the water.
Yeah.
So... Oh, and Salomon Kalou...
Well, you say about the cards, but I mean, I've not seen a replay of it, but the first yellow that Torroriga picked up.
Okay, if this is a yellow card, then you have to give a yellow card a few minutes earlier or later when somebody in midfield dives and challenges the ball. Maybe touch the ball a little bit, but Grujic was down for 2 minutes after that. Hmm. And so
there was no consistency.
No, and that's what I blame most young referees for. For example, if you have Dennis Aitekin, who is an older German, he has the slick black hair. He's German Turkish, and usually he starts a game and he lets lots of situations. They have this room of interpretation for them if they want to go really strict or want to let them lose a bit. And he lets lots of things go. And then there comes a foul and he goes to the guy and says, okay, this is a foul. Either says stop or he gives him a yellow card right away. And then people know what to do. And then usually his games are very, very easy.
Mm. Yeah. Well, people know where they stand. And if he's consistent with that.
Did not happen. Mm-hmm. And while Hertha getting a win or even... or just a point would have still been very lucky for us. He got the yellow card, and then there was a big fight after that. Or was it another scene where Torroriga was really upset at Sancho?
He was really wound up, wasn't he?
And it took three players to calm down. Then in the end, Kalou had to step in. He basically took him.
Stark really tried to get him calmed down.
He hit him.
But it didn't happen. And he finally cooled down enough to sort of carry on breathing after sort of...
Because Kalou gave him a little nice talking to.
Yeah.
Like a horse whisperer.
Yeah, he's
the Toro whisperer.
It was Kalou. So that was a... And then...
There was a second...
Second yellow.
The second yellow was okay, but still.
Yeah, he was... I think he lost his rag.
Yeah.
By that point already, hadn't he?
And my wife said, and then the problem was, everyone's like, should have been substituted, but who for?
Well, quite.
Yeah, Lustenberger, but still. Would have been. Yeah, okay. I was wrong.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing.
In hindsight,
thing.
Yeah. So then you got the yellow card, red card, sent off. And that my wife said, see, the good thing is my wife doesn't want to come on the show, because if she was, I'd be out of a job. That's what it is. She said that it needed for Dortmund to score. They had to get rid of Torroriga because he has a great game. He had a really great game, except for the being sent off part.
Yeah, it's more than the sending off bit. Yeah.
Didn't Anna said she talked to him?
I can't remember.
Because we met Anna.
She didn't talk to Ivicevic.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't.
No, I would not. I don't think he was in a good frame of mind. I can't remember, to be honest.
She said that he was really... he wasn't upset, but he was really, really nice and funny and talked to her.
Mm-hmm.
I like him a lot. He's a really good guy. We met him at the U23 game a few weeks back.
Oh,
really? They lost to Victoria, and he was still injured, and he was there, and we talked to him, and he was so nice to take a picture with us.
Cool.
Show notes. Pen doesn't write. No problem. So... I have to say, I don't like to talk about how good other players are, but Royce is really good.
Yeah.
He should, if he had never been injured.
Well, that's the thing with him, isn't he?
Very prone to injury.
He could have done amazing things with the German national team. But, I mean, he missed one World Cup completely, didn't he, because of injury?
Wasn't it two?
Was it two?
Did he play in 18? No. And he missed...
He didn't play in...
He missed 14.
Mm-hmm.
And in 18, he was... either the 2018 Cup or the 2016 European Championship, he was taken out because, as Löw said, and I quote here, he could only walk back and forth and not sideways.
Yeah, well...
Okay. He's a really good player. He's so good. Mm. And in the fact that Dortmund was on top of the league in the Hinrunde was also due to him.
Mm. Well, I think he stayed fit. Not that I've really sort of followed.
He was out for a few games, but not for long.
But he stayed fit for most of it. Anyway. Anywho, as Jan would say.
Hertha lost.
They did. I think it was a Sancho.
It happens.
Sancho crossover. Got to Royce.
Sancho to Royce and...
Yeah. And that was that. And that was really pretty galling because we thought we were going to come away with a point. Because I think it's, 2 minutes into extra time?
Yeah, 90 seconds.
Poo.
Poo, 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 poo. Didn't you say poo, poo, poo?
I think I said poo, poo, poo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But...
have tweeted poo, poo, poo.
Oh, I forgot about Ibišević.
How could you?
Yeah. So top it all off, Dortmund was really, really... I think at some points during the match, they were scared. And in the beginning, they were really scared. That's why they were playing for time a lot at the end, didn't they?
Ooh.
And there was a ball in play, like a meter away. And there was a ball that was out of play. And Bürki, in order to make some time... What's the word for Zeitschinden? You know when you...
Time wasting.
Yeah, he was wasting time. He walked out to kick the ball away that was totally unimportant. And Ibišević was really upset.
A bit of Balkan, temperament coming out there. And he did a crazy thing.
It looks so funny, though. And the thing is, I would...
When I first... If you look at what happened from slightly different angles...
Yeah.
When I first saw a replay of it, because you couldn't see very much from the stands... It looked like he threw the ball in the direction of Bürki.
He did. Yeah,
to go over the line. But it looked like he didn't throw it at his
face.
Head.
No, he didn't.
But if you look at it from another angle, I think he did.
So what is it now?
It's, well...
He didn't.
It depends which angle you look at it.
Anyway... I would say a very good...
He shouldn't have chucked the ball like that.
Yeah, of course, but I think a good referee would have given him a yellow card and that's good. That's it. I mean, 92nd minute game is over. What's going to happen?
Well, he wasn't a good referee.
And that was the situation where I really hated it. Before, my wife, I think after 5 minutes, he gave the referee the finger and she never does that.
Mm. And I don't think she was alone. I said at the time, I don't think she was alone.
Ooh, everybody hated him.
Mm.
We often have these away referees. Anyway, but the team played a great game. I think Mittelstädt and Stark played one of the best games they ever played for us.
Yes.
Mittelstädt is just, really good.
Yeah, Stark was good too.
There was one scene where Stark was chasing, I don't know if it was Sancho or some other player, and he was it was in the box, and he somehow was running behind him and managed to kick the ball away without touching the player. That was...
class.
Jeez.
Mm.
New national team player.
Aye.
Which would take us... Anything else on the game?
I think that's covered most of it, really.
Yogi
was there watching again, wasn't he?
Lazaro was really... He's a bit pissing me off now.
Yeah, he was disappointing. He was had a notably...
He's hesitant, right?
He didn't seem to get himself in the positions, whereas at one point he would...
In the end, he did.
He would come tearing along and he would, cut around people and then get a good pass in. He just wasn't doing it. He wasn't getting past people. Perhaps you're right. Perhaps he was just hesitating.
Or and lazy. That's the two things you can say.
I don't think it was...
Maybe it's the rumours that he might go to Inter for 25 million after the season?
Perhaps so. Well, not if he carries on like that, he won't.
I would like to see Klünter.
He doesn't want to go, so he's thought, well, if I play really badly for a couple of months, then I'll be able to stay in Berlin.
Because Milano is so ugly this time of year.
Yeah, horrible place.
Oh, we watched a game yesterday. It was Napoli. And the stadiums are totally run down shitholes.
Okay.
Thank you, Simon.
I've never been to a game in Italy.
Me neither, but it looks really old.
I've been to Italy twice.
Why? Only so little. I went there a lot.
Don't know. Went to Spain a lot. Various places in Spain.
Mallorca. An English colony.
Ibiza. All the Canary Islands pretty well.
Is that, the cool thing about the Canaries...
Northern Spain, a little bit west of Bilbao and Santander. Beautiful.
And you can always get baked beans there.
There's no English people there.
But north of the northern part of Mallorca, it's only all these topless, bald-headed red people.
That's just the Germans.
But we wear sandals and hats.
Oh, that's okay then.
Oh, sandals and socks, of course.
Of course. You're not barbarians. Oh,
but I like the fact that I could always get baked beans there, because back in the day when I was there in the 90s, it was hard to get food from anywhere else because you didn't have internet and stuff like that.
But you like baked beans?
I like baked beans. Hmm. I like baked beans and I cannot lie.
Sorry, listener. I have a childish sense of humour.
Simon will soon start his new podcast, not only on dieting, but also on farts. Or Pump Duck and Flatulence is the name. He's going to Kielbasa and Flatulence. Oh, by the way.
Not necessarily in that order.
In the German podcast scene, there is a new podcast. And it's, I think the German has something about long lines of women talk about football, which I think is a cool idea. We should have a woman here. Maybe Simon next time? Dress up a bit?
I could do. Don't think the world's ready for that, though.
Lipstick. A wig. Oh, we have a wig. My wife went to Halloween as a... as Amy... What's her name? Amy Winehouse. Amy Winehouse. God bless her. Mm. Oh, coconut. You know, Simon... You know, I share my candy with Simon, and he just shows me. He just eats and looks at me, and I'm starving.
I brought you packets of hobnobs.
But they're my wife's.
And then when I came back 2 weeks later to do another recording, look, they're still in the drawer.
But they're my wife's. Fuck it, I'm eating. You take over. I need to eat.
We're having a food fight now.
We talk about the...
You hear a crushing sound. It's hot knobs flying across the studio.
Greatest Hertha podcast ever, broken up over a food fight.
Over hot knob hurling. Who's up for competition? Who can throw a hot knob
first? I'm sorry for the noise.
You're not at all.
Cheers.
Mm. You just put the whole thing in. Just a whole hot knob. You can't talk now. And I'm now spitting little bits of coconut across the room.
Is there any other way to eat them?
Yes, there really is.
How? You just chuck them in. A bit of milk. Oh, hobnobs.
Chocolate hobnobs.
Hobnobs is the best.
Do you have hobnobs in America?
America?
Yeah.
They're not really good with candy, except for... Do you have peanut butter M&M's in England?
You can get them, yeah. Oh. Have you ever tried a digestive biscuit with peanut butter and then apricot jam? Mm-mm. Oh, it's wonderful. Terrible for you, of course. It's all part of my diet, Jack, isn't it? How I've managed to survive this long, I don't know, but... That is a gem, that is.
Go to econetdiet.com. Okay, national team. Next topic. Oh, now he's eating again.
I'm hungry.
In the German football world, there was a big uproar because the man who a few days later would sit at the stadium with a Hertha blanket.
Mm-hmm.
Joachim Löw, or as we all call him.
He watched two games because he was at Freiburg too.
He lives near Freiburg, or in Freiburg.
Oh, actually in Freiburg.
Near or in Freiburg, yeah. Anyway, he did what many people say he should have done last year. He kicked out 3 Bayern players.
Hey.
Namely... Boateng,
mm-hmm.
Müller,
mm.
and Hummels.
Mm.
Which makes total sense because they got overrun a lot at the World Cup. Mm. And
in 2014, Müller was really good, and he really isn't anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's very much a has-been. Hummels, again, not what he was.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they can... Yeah, Bylan might huff and puff about it, but I think it's fair cop, really. You have to have new blood coming into the team.
At our, Germany will play Netherlands on the 24th.
Grudge match.
I'm just trying to find out who... Oh, yeah. New players is... One, among the players new to national team is Niklas Stark.
Yay!
Which we think is pretty well-deserved and awesome. Yeah, anything else doesn't matter. Niklas Stark for the national team!
Excellent.
I mean, it's just a... It makes sense because...
Well-deserved,
he went he's through all player. The all the youth teams. He won the 2017, what was it, the European Youth U21 Championship, along with Selke and Grete Weiser.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the long talk about the national team.
Yeah.
Oh, who cares? It's not Hertha, I don't care.
What else have we got to wrap it on?
I have the Hertha issue, which for... Probably for American and for English-speaking Hertha fans doesn't mean much, but there was a fan radio started in 1989 when Hertha was, I think the average attendance was 400 at the Olympiastadion. And after after exactly 30 years, they did their last show. And I was invited. Yay! It was at the near Warschauer Straße in a big... nice studio, because I was thinking it would be in a little, not a little, little room. It was a big stadium, a big room, lots of lights and food and whatnot. And I saw so many Hertha legends. Of course, Axel was there.
Was it because there's some studios and things just downstream from Borchardstrasse, right by the river, going down towards the Molecule Man?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the place you're talking about. Yeah. He's got another hobnob in his mouth, and he's going red in the face. He's got remember to breathe, Jan.
Sorry, not sorry. Dirk Reiser was there, who was the captain of the team in 1989. Hertha played a friendly match against Union because there was a fan friendship between them.
Yeah,
and when they could, there was a exhibition game. I think Hertha won 2-1 by a goal from Axel Kruse. If you're a Hertha fan, it was really great to see him. I talked to the stadium announcer of Hertha. I got to meet Ingo Schiller and the rest of the Hertha management. And I have to say, I shed a few tears. It was so touching. It was really, really good. And in the end, Frank Zander was there and he sang Nur nach Hause gehen wir nicht live. And the face, it's a team, but the face of Hertha Echo is Manne, and Manne was crying.
Oh.
It was so cute. And then they were at the game.
He was a 23 as well, wasn't he?
Yeah. Mm. He now continues as the stadium announcer for the U23 games. Mm. Better sound, better music than at the stadium, right?
Oh, some of the music at the Olympic Stadium, really. I virtually every podcast I whinge on about this, but the stuff that comes out through the PA, you know, you got the Oscar sort of singing away doing their stuff, and then they play this rubbish over the PA, blanking it all out. I really wish they wouldn't do that. It's one of my pet hates. You've got a really good sort of fan base that's really making a lot of racket. To blank that out by having some sort of garbage chucked out through the PA system, it just pisses me off, but that's just me.
I put the hobnobs away because I couldn't take it.
Oh.
Now I'm tired. No, and it was the day of the Bremen game, and at the Bremen game there was a small little choreo for them, and then you saw him or the four people all by themselves, standing in front of the Ostkurve, and they had a choreo just for them. That was the most touching thing I've seen.
Yeah, it was good.
And they were hoping for a win, but... Okay.
Such is life.
Hertha Echo over, we have a few little things to mention. One would be that there is gonna be the 16th edition of the 11mm Film Festival. Have you been?
No.
No?
I've never been here at all.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not here this time.
Good for you. It is a film festival all...
I'm probably going to a riot or something.
All about football. It's 4 or 5 days. Hertha is one of the sponsors. And it's at the... In Mitte, or... Yeah, it's still Mitte. It's Rosa Luxemburg Platz. There is a movie theater called called Babylon. And that's where it takes place. And they show... I've seen the Kalu movie. It won a prize 2 years ago. Mm. And this time they have special interests. Like the Berlinale, they have special topics every year. And this one, this year, it's, women in football. And on the last day, you have the football short films of the year. It's called the Short Kicks Gala. And if you go there, they show 5 or 6 movies, short movies, of course. And in the end, a jury of experts from football and the media, they vote.
They choose the winner.
On the best. Hmm. It's really interesting. So if you're in Berlin between the 21st and 25th of March, go to Twitter or online 11mm.de and check out the movies. It's really, really good. Oh, and of course, for people who don't speak the German, there's lots of movies in the original version with subtitles, which could mean that you have to watch a Hungarian movie. But there's also, for example, a movie called Home Match, which is original with English subtitles. And it's somewhere, it's really nice if you have the movies with English subtitles, because if you watch a movie in Spanish on football and there's a commentary, you cannot really do it justice if you translate that and voice over it.
Or dub over it. I hate it being dubbed over.
Yeah, me too.
So, I'd rather have subtitles.
I think there's even a movie tonight. It's called Comme des Garçons, and it's about a French football team. And then on Friday there's a movie about a documentary about one of the best football teams in the world, which is FC Rosengård, which is a female team in Denmark. And they the UEFA.
You said Sweden earlier on. I'm sure
it's Sweden. What did I say? It's Sweden.
You just said Denmark.
It's Sweden, I'm sorry. Scandinavia.
They're cracking up.
United States of Scandinavia.
Somewhere up north.
For example, and today is Gender Gap Day. No, Equal Pay Day is today. Because today is the day...
Today
is the day when women will stop working for free. Because there's still a 21% pay gap between men and women. Mm. Which we add. The MTF podcast hate. Not yes. No, we don't hate women. We hate the fact that there's no gender equality.
Pay difference for the same thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Wrong.
It's very interesting. It's a team of about 20 people, and there also was a Rasenfunk Tribünengespräch with two of the organizers, and they do it all on their free time, which makes it even more cute. And really good. And if you have the option to go, you should go. Oh, and there will also be a panel with somebody I've mentioned before, and he also agreed to do an interview with me. His name is Max Jakob Ost. He is at G Netzer on Twitter, and he does the award-winning football podcast, which is called Rasenfunk.
Ooh.
How would you translate that? Pitch?
It's
pitch radio?
Yeah, sort of. It's grow. I mean, literally, it's sort of like grass radio, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pitch radio perhaps is a better way of putting it.
Yeah. Oh, and the There's an exhibition called Fantastic Females, which is about female fans in football, which is pretty interesting. It's going to be there too.
And curiously, because I went to a gentle listener, it's got nothing to do with football, but I went to a Viking festival in York in England, which is the largest one in Europe, I hasten to add. And there they had a lecture about women Vikings. So. Or Vikingar, I should say.
It's really, really good. And he's going to talk about...
Notice how coming back to he brushes over that.
His talk is going to...
I have diverse interests.
His talk is going to be about whether football culture is just something for a sentimental old man like us. Okay, 11mm, enough plugging. Enough. Really cool. Yeah, I hope to get an interview with the organizers. You'll see all about it. Oh, and it's the first and still the biggest football film festival in the world.
Done.
Next thing I have is promotion.
Oh, of the under-23s.
Actually, we forgot about three games I wanted to mention.
Did?
Shit, how well. I put it... We'll talk about these games next time, okay? Deal. We're going to talk about... I'm sorry. Sorry, Joe. From Cincinnati. We're going to talk about the other Academy games in our next podcast. And we don't have seven games to talk about. And yesterday we went to see them win, which was really cool and nice.
Against Babelsberg. I was surprised there weren't more Babelsberg fans
there. They left.
Why?
I think the police did something and then they had to take all away. They had a banner. It had to be taken off, and then they all left in protest, as ultras do.
I didn't realize, because you were there quite early, weren't you? Well, I was there quite early, but you were already sort of...
You were busy eating.
Well, of course.
And chatting with the Slytherin kid. Boo!
Well, I had two cakes and a cup of coffee before turning up. And then I had a huge, great breakfast, which was very nice.
I went straight from breakfast.
Sorry?
We went... From breakfast straight to the stadium.
So did I, but my breakfast was two cakes.
We'll see who lives longer.
It's all part of the Econet diet.
Econetdiet.com. should really buy that that domain. And you can just make it a redirect from there to your blog.
I haven't done my blog for ages.
Okay, the U23 team, which is an under-23.
Yep.
But there's an exception. You can have one or two players who are older or from a different team, which is most teams in Germany have stopped fielding that team because it pays. It costs them money and it doesn't pay much because you have usually 200 at best. We had 300, 400
people. I think it was 400. It was about 100 from Babelsberg.
Yes,
that explains because it didn't look like 100 because that's probably because most of them are pushed off. You tweeted it, didn't you?
I'm not sure from which account. The Twitter is always so hard.
It wasn't that. Even if it's completely packed to the gunnels, there's not that many people there. I think in theory it can take, was it like 4,000 or something?
That much?
Can't be that much.
I wouldn't know.
I've been there when it's been pretty damn full.
It was pretty full against PSG. Teaser for next time. But there were no away fans, of course, because it was a Tuesday or Wednesday night. And seriously, who goes to a game in another country to see a U19 team?
There's no sort of random person from Paris that happens to live in Berlin that turned up to watch them.
There was nobody in the other block.
Nobody at all.
394 spectators showed up for the game at the Amateurstadion.
Okay,
so if you're ever in Berlin to watch Hertha play, and you're lucky and they play a U23 home game, you should definitely go.
Yeah.
It's a totally different feel.
It's a different atmosphere completely. And you're right up close. There was a bit of argy-bargy with Flo Back. At one point or another, and you're really close, so you can really sort of see the facial expressions and things going on. It was a bit of a handbags at dawn situation.
In the second half, the opposing team, Babelsberg, were playing from left to right, and there was a guy doing a counter attack over the right. And when he was running and he shot the ball, I heard the sound that you hear from tennis players. It was really funny.
Yeah.
And you hear everything and you smell everything and it's so close, and
yes,
if you don't pay attention, you might get hit by a ball.
That's right. Well, there's advertising hoarding, isn't there? You know, right in front of you. It's luckily just a few feet away. Yeah. And if the ball hits that, it makes a heck of a racket, doesn't it? Because you're only, literally, that
concussion protocol now.
10 feet away from it. Well, less than that, remember.
So they're doing pretty well. And they yesterday we had two Bundesliga players. Or three, actually. But two older ones. You had
Pekarik,
who had an assist. Darida.
Yes.
Who is really good. And then
Palkudade. Oh, of course. Yes.
Dade played.
Idiot.
And Bach officially is also a player, though he's not really close to the team. But he's officially a pro.
He has had a bit of a run out.
Garbage time.
It wasn't very much, but he's a big lad, though.
He's good. I like him. Yeah. Heard different things about him, but I like him. So they might be promoted, and there was discussion if the Hatter should do it, because the third league is the league of red numbers, because you always, it's going to cost you money. It doesn't pay much and you have to pay for that. Some people say they should not be promoted because third league should be for real teams and not...
I thought there was some rule that they weren't allowed to do that.
No. I remember some years past there was Bremen in the third league or something.
Mm.
Anyway, so we'll see what happens. But it would be interesting. I think it's pretty crucial if you're trying to persuade a younger player, 15, 16, to come with them. I mean, if you say, hey, if you come with us, you can play for our second team in the Regionalliga Nordost, the regional league Northeast.
Yeah.
Or you say, hey, you can play in the third tier league. That maybe that's a bit of an incentive.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, and the other team who are in front of them, Berliner AK, they don't have the means to be relegated, to be promoted.
Right.
So they...
Is that because they haven't got the right sort of facilities and things? Or
it's money. It's all about money.
It's just money.
I think, yeah. And they... maybe you're also right about the facilities. So they have... in Germany, around this time now, you have to apply for a license with the DFL or DFB. With the German Football Association or German Football League.
Mm-hmm.
And they check your finances and then you get it or you don't get it. And Hatta, before they had the KKR, they always got it, but they were under probation because they didn't have some kind of... There was always money missing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hatta.
So
Berliner AK has not applied for a license, so they will definitely be out. So we'll see what happens. Maybe the whole thing doesn't come to pass because Hatta just loses a few games in the end. You know how we do in spring.
Yeah, it happens.
The spring fling. Yeah, but if you ever in Berlin, how much is the fee?
I think it's about if you with season tickets.
We don't pay.
We don't have to pay. But I think it's like about €8, something like that.
Only five? Oh, five is a discounted one for students.
I thought it was eight, but I'm not.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
But it's not a massive amount of money, and it's a very different experience.
Almost non-league. We talked about it yesterday because I was not sure what non-league actually means. But it's not the big business you see in the Bundesliga.
No. It's all very small. Very sort of
and better catering.
Yeah,
and they have sucuk. You don't know sucuk?
No.
Turkish garlic sausage. Next time, Sam.
Next time. Bratwurst was very nice.
Yeah.
€2 for a bratwurst. Much salt as you like in it.
Better beer.
In a roll.
Cheaper beer.
I can't drink the beer, so.
Yeah. I only drink the Apfelschorle and the Fassbrause if I can get my hands on it.
I did have a mug of Glühwein.
Did you ever write about that in your blog?
What's that?
The under 23?
I think I have done before in the past. I used to put the fixtures up as well, actually, but I haven't done that.
By the way, Simon, since yesterday, he has been approved to attend more games because his wife said that that the U23 always lost when you watch them.
Yeah, they seem to quite often. Not this time.
It was an interesting game. I had a great time with my friends, and we got to take a picture with Marius Gasbeck.
Yep.
One of the reserve keepers for Hertha BSC.
I got tweeted. It was a good day.
Retweeted. And we got mentioned in the Mahata podcast. In the Mahata forum. Blog. We are fame.
Fame at last.
Okay.
We got retweeted loads of times, that picture.
I have two more things. One is Friede.
And one is another Hobnob.
No, I can't. I have to be strong.
You can do it, yeah.
Sidney Friede is on loan now.
Right.
He's a African-American guy. Pretty tall, plays center back or defensive midfield. He used to have some blonde hair in his...
Oh, dear.
Yeah. I saw him against Neugastorp when he just smashed the ball in from 30 meters out. Poof.
Bang.
Same with Čović, who scored. But this is going to be... No, we don't want to talk about the U23 next time.
Okay.
Poor Joe, he always keeps listening and he's like, oh, delayed again. Yeah, Sidney Friede is in Belgium now, and I think he has scored 4 goals in 5 games, something like that.
Cool.
I think it's really good for him to be there because you're out of the comfort zone and on your own, and they're doing pretty well. I think they haven't lost since he got there.
Good, good.
You can follow him on Twitter and the Gram. We have to do more Gram stuff.
Okay.
Okay, and the last part. To all our friends who live across the pond, as the Americans say, as you would say,
mm-hmm.
Do you know any derogative terms for the people in America? The Yanks?
Not particularly, no.
Oh. But the Australians call you the prisoners of Mother England, the Poms, right?
Poms, yes. Yeah.
Pom grenade.
Yes.
Hatta will embark... Okay, there's two things now. We're going to talk about what Hatta's going to do, and we're going to have a little...
A competition. I was looking blank again there for a second, dear listener. It's the normal state of affairs.
It's basically, right? I'm doing a podcast with a tree.
Yeah. It's a deciduous tree, and it's winter.
Groundhog Day. Anyway, Hatta announced that they, after the season, will go on a week-long trip to the United States of America, which we find...
Interesting?
I find very interesting. I'm really sorry I can't go because I'll be a dad. And trips to the States for a week are pretty steep.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to sponsor us going to the States, please donate money to. Or if we sell Simon's book rights till the time. Oh, whatever. It's still a bit in planning and everything, but they will embark on the 20th of May 2019. And on the 22nd of May, they will play Minnesota United FC, who will, I think it's their first match or their first match in the new stadium, something like that.
Right.
And yeah, we already asked about streaming, and it's probably a no. But you might, I mean, if you're in the States, you can definitely watch it on Fox, I guess.
Yeah.
But I'm not exactly sure. And you will definitely get the highlights on Hatta TV.
Mm.
But all this hasn't been worked on. And then they are set to go to the West Coast and play a match there, maybe one of the 25 LA teams or something like that. We don't know. Of course, some people are going to complain.
Jürgen Klinsmann can go watch them again.
Yeah, I think that's the connection how this whole thing came to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, of course. He used to be the national coach.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there yesterday to watch the sun play.
He was. He looked very, well, not very, but he looked quite tanned.
Tanned?
Yes.
Happy? Or tense?
Skin was browned.
He lives in Florida.
Well,
or California.
It's California, I think, yeah.
So same, but different.
That would do it.
I thought he was... When his son cleared a ball, it was pretty hard to clear. He looked down, I think he took notes, and then he gave him a talking to afterwards. You conceded a goal, but... And there was this and this.
He took a clattering at one point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then Dad sort of... I mean, I didn't see it, but Veronica looked round and she said he was gesturing, just get up. What are you doing? Stop faffing around. Get up.
I really like Klinsmann. In the beginning, I was like, why would they get a guy from college level in the States?
He did well, though, didn't he?
He was a hero in the Europa League match when he stopped the penalty.
Yeah, yes, that was a corker, that was. Yes, he must have enjoyed that tremendously.
So to all our American listeners, Joe, what's the guy's name? The guy from Texas? Brian? And there's Hatta Fans TX is also there.
Yep.
So this, he was on Damba. I forgot his name. I'm sorry. So if you have time, go there. And
yeah, if you're in that neck of the woods.
But I think it's going to be good for the club, you know, fan base.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exposure.
Yeah.
And we're such a sexy... Oh, and I heard that especially Kalou and Ibišević are very, very excited about the whole thing.
Mm.
Because Ibišević basically has family living there because he used to live there. He used to play college. And Kalou reportedly goes there all the time.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Anyway.
It's a nice country. If it wasn't for the Republicans and Trump.
Well, Trump, yes. What can we say?
What can we say?
I've got a picture of Trump, actually, on a sticker on my passport wallet.
The stuff of nightmares.
I think it's from Amnesty International, actually, and it says the stuff of nightmares. But there you go. That's just me.
So, if I look at my sheet, we are done.
Sorted.
So, we have an international break now.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing much happening. I think Rune is playing against Spain.
All by himself.
All by himself, probably. Wow. I mean,
if anybody could do it, Rune could.
The Kraken.
Yes, the Kraken awakes.
I like him. We have loads.
He's angry.
We have loads of goalkeepers.
Yes, we're awash with them.
Okay, let's look at the calendar of the season. What's going to happen in the Bundesliga? Upcoming matches. Oh yeah, on the 29th.
You've got Dusseldorf.
On the 27th, we have our favorite team from... No, our next match is away at Markranstädt.
Mm-hmm.
Raba. I hope we can repeat what we did last season.
That'd be quite cool.
Oh, would be nice. And then on the 5th of April, we're going to play... No, 6th of April, we're going to play Dusseldorf. And hopefully shoot them out of every stadium and make them regret the day they were born. No, I don't hold grudges.
Not much.
And then on the 29th, we travel to Hoffenheim for an away game. We are out of the cup. There's not... Oh, and there's going to be a test match this week. I will attend with my friend Klaus. You heard him before on this show.
Who did he play?
Holstein Kiel from the second tier. Interesting match at the Olympiastadion, at the Amateurstadion on Wednesday or Thursday at 1. Thursday at 1 p.m. Free.
Not a big attendance, I would have thought.
Free.
Is it free?
Free of charge.
Yes.
So get on your plane and come over for a test match. I mean, it's the only chance to see Ibišević in the next 3 weeks playing. Oh, he's going to get a longer ban, I tell you that. Okay, Simon, how do we usually send... Why don't you send us home?
I think that's a wrap. So, what are we saying? It's...
It's your idea, I don't know. Oh, shit! Stop! Oh, we forgot.
He's got it.
No, we forgot about the competition.
Oh, the competition.
Yeah. Trivia time. Da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm a big fan of NPR's Ask Me Another. Do you know that show?
No.
Oh, it's so fun. It's a half-hour show of trivia and puzzles on the National Public Radio. Watch it. Listen, it's really, really funny. Hatta is going to the United States of America, which is not the first time.
Uh-huh.
Our question for the reader, and please don't, you have to answer.
Listener.
Sorry, reader. Yeah, sorry. I'm a very literal person, you know, sophisticated, good looking, and very modest. Hatta took a trip to the States before. And you would think the question would be, when was it? But no, we are not. No, we're doing hardcore stuff.
Yeah.
Our question is, who was the player for Hertha BSC who did so well there that he is now in the United States Soccer Hall of Fame. If you listen to this, do we want emails or tweets? I think emails are better because nobody can read them.
Yes, that would be a good idea.
Okay. No. So you go to your email and you enter info@dmtfpodcast.com. And do we have a deadline? Deadline is before we record the new show.
Yeah.
What will they get?
Could be almost any time.
So, Simon, what can the listeners win?
We got some stickers.
A cavalcade of cool.
Yes.
Stickers and some other surprises. Mm-hmm. So of course, if you enter, please also email us your name and snail mail address, so we can send you your winnings.
Yes, indeed.
And in German,
so if we get multiple correct answers, what are we going to do?
We're gonna hire a fairy. We're gonna pick at random, you know, with a blindfold. Shoot.
Put it all on a bit of paper.
Yeah.
Into a bucket.
Yes.
Or a jug.
And then drink it. In German, you always have to say that der Rechtsweg ist ausgeschlossen. So this is purely fun, and you cannot. You cannot sue us to get winnings.
No.
I don't even know why they do that, but I'm going to research them. I will report back next episode. So once again, Hertha did a trip before. Which year? That's a bonus, if you know the year. And then tell us who is the Hertha soccer player who is in the USA Soccer Hall of Fame or whatever you call that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Done.
And now, Simon, now you can finally... here, send us home or whatever you call that stuff.
So it's
a goodbye from me,
and it's goodbye from him.
Bye.
Hi, my name is Salomon Kalou, and keep listening to the Dalmatian Football Podcast.